Healthy Alternatives. Both research and real-life experiences are making it clear every day that our traditional medical system and practices need to be rethought, revised, and recharged in light of a more holistic approach to health. Dr. Jerry V. Teplitz, host of Healthy Alternatives, has been a pioneer for 36 years in stress management and optimum health. With a Ph.D. in holistic health sciences, a law degree, and as the author of 8 books, all focused on health, stress management, and performance, Dr. Teplitz is uniquely qualified to help us explore and incorporate healthy alternatives into our daily lives. He is a professional speaker and has shared his wisdom with over 1 million people. Join him to reach your highest level of health and wellness. Now, here's Dr. Teplitz.
Welcome to Healthy Alternatives. My name is Dr. Jerry Teplitz. What Healthy Alternatives is about is we all really want to reach optimal levels of health, optimal levels of well-being. We want to feel better, live longer, and enjoy life even more. And that's what I attempt to bring to you on each of the shows of Healthy Alternatives. My guest I'm going to be interviewing a little later today is Nat Jones. Nat is a compounding pharmacist. He owns Lakeview Compounding Pharmacy and Nutrition Center in Virginia Beach, Virginia. And we're going to be talking about the whole notion of compounding pharmacy, what it can do for you, and how it can really benefit you. We're going to be talking to him in just a few minutes. Now, every week, I like to begin the show by talking about an issue area, a concern that you should know about because it can have an impact on you. What I want to talk about today is statin drugs. There have been 255 million prescriptions written for statins in 2010. Total spending is about $19 billion. Now, what statins are supposed to do is lower your cholesterol levels. The problem is half the people who get heart attacks actually had low cholesterol levels. Now, the problem with statins is that there are actually very serious side effects that occur. And some of the new research shows you can actually get very severe nerve damage when you take statins over a long period of time. In genmedinfo.com, you actually have 340 conditions that may be associated with the use of these drugs, and that's not good. In addition, the Archives of Internal Medicine had a study that reported that statins actually increase the risk of diabetes for postmenopausal women by 48%. In fact, elevated insulin levels wound up leading to heart disease, which is actually one of the things that you're taking statins to prevent, but it's actually increasing your insulin levels and giving you diabetes all at the same time. So the higher the dose of statin, the greater the risk of diabetes. Now, while statins don't have immediate side effects, it's over the longer term that you're getting these changes happening. And when a drug is tested out, it is really tested out for the short term. And so your doc may not even be aware that what you're having is coming from a statin drug. In addition, there's an enzyme in the body called CoQ10 that's involved with creating energy in your mitochondrial cells. Those are the cells that produce energy for you. Well, it turns out the heart has a concentration 200 times more mitochondrial cells than any other part of the body. And what statins do is they inhibit coenzyme Q10. In Canada, they actually require you to take in your statins coenzyme Q10. In this country, they ignored it completely. So you need to make a decision in terms of statins may lower cholesterol, but cholesterol does not appear to be responsible for the heart attacks people are having. And so that what you really need to look at is this a beneficial drug with all the side effects for you to be taking. If you want to know more about me, Dr. Jerry Teplitz, you can go to teplitzscott.com and you can follow me on Twitter and Facebook. At the top of the Healthy Alternatives page, you'll see a button that says Jerry Recommends. Those are people and services that I recommend you consider because they can actually have a very positive impact on you. Every week, I like to talk to you about a healthy breakthrough. It's the newest information, latest research about healthy alternatives you can use for yourself, your family, and loved ones. What I want to talk about is exercise in school for kids. A review of 14 studies demonstrated that the more physically active school kids are, the better they actually do academically. There was a study that was done with kids from Naperville Central High School a couple of years ago, and what they did is they took part in a very dynamic gym class at the very beginning of the day. They had access to exercise bikes and balls, and throughout the day they could actually exercise in their classrooms, and the results were really mind-blowing. Those who participated nearly doubled their reading scores, and their math scores increase 20-fold. The research has shown that after 30 minutes on a treadmill, students solve problems up to 10% more effectively. So what's happening in most schools? They're eliminating recess, they're eliminating phys ed, and they want to focus in on the reading, writing, and arithmetic. And they're missing the whole point that exercise is crucial for being better at reading, writing, and arithmetic. Because what some of the researchers believe is happening in terms of the benefits to the kids is the exercise is increasing blood and oxygen flow to the brain. It's causing the release of chemicals like norepinephrine and endorphins, which result in reduction of stress and improved mood, and also increase growth factors that help create new nerve cells and support synaptic plasticity. So the notion is to get your kids out there moving, and getting them moving in school is a great idea, and that's your healthy breakthrough for this week. Before I continue, I want to take a moment to talk about one of my recent books, Managing Your Stress in Difficult Times, Succeeding in Times of Change. It's difficult out there still, even though the economy appears to be improving a little bit, and people have a lot of stress. Dentists, for example, have more people coming in with broken tooths from teeth grinding than they've ever seen before, and it really needs to be up to you to handle your stress more effectively. And this book gives you a whole range of tools and techniques you can use immediately to more effectively handle your stress. You can find the book on Amazon.com, Managing Your Stress in Difficult Times, Succeeding in Times of Change, or you can go to teplitz.com and click on the products button and you go to books.
My guest today is Nat Jones. Nat is a pharmacist. He's a graduate from the Medical College of Virginia School of Pharmacy, and he's president of Lakeview Compounding Pharmacy and Nutritional Center in Virginia Beach, and he's been president of that since 1993. So we're going to be talking about compounding pharmacy and give you a clear picture as to what this is about and how this can be helpful for you. But first, Nat, what attracted you to getting involved in being a pharmacist in the first place?
Well, I was always one of those, I guess, scientifically nerdy kids. I had a chemistry set when I was little, and I actually enjoyed it.
And did you blow up the house, fella?
No, but I killed some test tubes, I'll tell you. I definitely killed some test tubes. New glassware was needed all the time, you know. I was a math science kind of kid in high school, and so it was kind of medicine was somewhere in the future. You know, it goes, you're never really sure what you want to do when you grow up. And so the path took me this direction.
And so tell us what a compounding pharmacy is all about.
Well, compounding pharmacy basically is where we instead of just dispensing manufactured drugs, we actually prepare the medications here in the lab, and we do it on a per-prescription basis for each patient. And so pretty much everything we're doing is kind of a custom preparation to fit the patient's needs. Rather than having maybe one or two doses available, we can make it into virtually any dose most of the time, any strength, and which gives us a lot of flexibility. Plus, for making it, so to speak, from scratch, where we're just using the actual active ingredients, we can leave ingredients out that someone might be able to tolerate, a coloring agent or a dye or a preservative or something that they can't tolerate, and make the medicine more compatible with the person.
So if somebody is coming in and they normally get X drug for high blood pressure, that you can in effect be compounding up something like that, but in a form that's better suited for that person, potentially?
Exactly. And we have a lot of patients that can't swallow pills, and it's pretty common problem for a lot of patients, so we end up making liquid preparations out of a lot of medications. Simple thing for to do, but it helps a lot of people out because they can't swallow the solid dosage forms. And if somebody has a medication, I had a patient one time that was allergic to corn. Their arthritis pill had cornstarch as a filler in it, so we were actually able to compound it without the cornstarch filler, and their arthritis improved because apparently the corn was one of the inflammatory agents that was causing the reaction that was causing the arthritis. Is that rather interesting?
Every pill they took, they got worse.
Yeah, the cure was making them worse. So,
right.
Yeah. But who knew? So it took some diagnostic testing to find out what the patient was actually reacting to figure out that the solution in that case was part of the problem.
Uh-huh. Now, do you have any or need any kind of specialized training to become a compounding pharmacist?
Well, legally, any pharmacist could compound, but the work that we do here is fairly complex. We've been through specialty training. I'm actually one of probably 70 full fellows in the International Academy of Compounding Pharmacists in the country. And I've spent pretty much the latter half of my career doing nothing but compounding. Actually, when I was in pharmacy school way back in the 70s, I got employed to work at the Medical College of Virginia Hospital, and they had a compounding department, and I absolutely loved it, especially the area where I got to learn to do sterile compounding. So I was very attracted to it. I found it extremely interesting, a whole lot more interesting than just, typing labels and, counting out medications, which is pretty much what a lot of the dispensing activities are in most pharmacies. So it gave me a chance to use my brain, use my hands in a lot of different ways, and do stuff that was kind of unique, and there was a big need for. So
you were back to the chemistry set again.
Yeah, I was. And now that I have my own compounding pharmacy. Yeah, I have a very large chemistry set, so it's a,
really.
Yeah.
Now, what kind of practitioners do you typically work with? Is it beyond just docs, or is it somebody who is a doc primarily?
Well, in the state of Virginia, where we're located, in order to compound anything, we have to have a prescription. So it has to be a licensed practitioner.
Okay.
Who can prescribe medications. But we get involved with virtually every medical specialty there is. Podiatry is big. We work with dentists, we work with ophthalmologists, we work with, family practitioners and internists all the time. OBGYNs are probably a huge percentage of the prescribers that we work with, endocrinologists, pediatricians. I mean, we prepare a lot of medications for pediatric patients because of the liquid aspect, as you can imagine. And even veterinarians. We work with small animals, exotics. We work with equine. So anything from a tree frog all the way up to a horse is, I think, is the biggest animal we've worked on thus far. So a huge variety of medications that we get asked to compound.
And so what are kind of the most common things you're asked to make for the practitioners to use?
Well, probably bioidentical hormones is the most common thing that we get asked to make. We do a lot of Well, bioidentical means the hormones are exactly the same hormones that the human body produces. So we do a lot of bioidentical hormone preparations. I would say the majority of our patients are female, but we have a large number of male patients as well. Because as everybody gets older, the hormones tend to decline with time, and a lot of symptoms start happening because of that. We get asked to make a lot of that. Second, probably the biggest segment that we get involved in is, kind of an offshoot from that would be thyroid medications. We make a lot of custom thyroid medications for patients. Just today, I returned a phone call to an endocrinologist who had asked me, or a nurse practitioner in endocrinology practice, excuse me, that asked me to consult on the dosage adjustment for their patients. So they sent me the lab work, and I just helped them formulate what I think the next move would be. And then after that, really the biggest, one of the biggest segments we have is pain management. We work a lot with physiatrists or orthopedists or pain management specialists to help patients with their pain.
Now, what do dentists use you for?
Well, it's kind of a mixture of things. A lot of numbing agents, things for dry socket, a lot of oral rinse products for various problems they have. We've done some etching solutions. Miscellaneous products. It was for stomatitis, canker sores, ulcerations in the mouth. That sort of stuff. We get involved in a lot of different things, as well as antibiotics. There's some bandaging products that we can do in a thickening gel, a gel that thickens at body temperature that would have antibiotics they can use to pack. So it's a bunch of neat things that we do for dentists.
Any idea how many compounding pharmacies there are in the country? Because you said there are 70 people who are kind of full board certified.
Well, there's probably several thousand in the country that I'm aware of, probably 4,000 or 5,000 pharmacies around the country, or maybe more, I don't even know exactly, that do compounding. But in our pharmacy, we only compound that along with consultation work. So we focus on that. We don't dispense traditional medications. I decided to stop doing that because it takes a lot of time and energy to do that as well as compound. So I thought I would just focus on the compounding. I made that decision about maybe 7 years ago, I guess it was, and it allowed me to focus more on this, which has been a good thing. It's helped me develop a lot of aspects of my business that I wouldn't have had time for otherwise.
Any idea if in other states the laws are a bit broader where, I think it's California, where people who are not medical doctors can use alternative therapies with folks as long as they do no harm, I think is what the law says. But can they also then in some places, other places, have compounding pharmacists be making up vitamins?
Oh, sure. A lot of states will allow pharmacists to compound over-the-counter products. Virginia is not one of those. But even, for example, North Carolina allows that, which is a neighboring state for us. But a lot of states will, and a lot of compounding pharmacies have their own in-house brands of, all sorts of things for nausea or for dry skin or any number of things, including nutritional products, and it's extremely common. Like I said, our state is a slightly more restrictive than some of the others, but we still end up compounding a lot of nutritional products for our patients. There are a lot of things that are not commercially available, or they're not stable long enough to be commercially available, so we get asked to make like methylcobalamin injections and things of that nature.
What kind of injection?
It's a metabolite of B12. It's a specific form of B12 called methylcobalamin. Some people can't convert the regular B12 into that form, so they have to have that particular form in order to help their metabolism function properly. And we've made it for children with autism, as well as a lot of adults have problems converting. So we dispense that routinely to a lot of our patients.
Now, is there kind of a recipe book for all these, drugs that are quote-unquote the regular drug you go in the drugstore that you're getting the formula for?
Mm-hmm. Well, we have about 10,000 working formulations in our database at this point. We belong to a company, or an affiliate of a company called Professional Compounding Centers of America, which is where we obtain a large percentage of our formulations. They have pharmacists and PhDs in medicinal chemistry that help formulate a lot of these formulations. But a vast majority of the formulations we have done in-house based on guidelines from the U.S. Pharmacopeia. And in terms of stability, there's a lot of stability data out there in terms of compatibility, et cetera. So, like I said, compounding was one of those things that really interested me as a student. So, I mean, I learned to use the reference materials that were out there, the references that were out there in terms of compatibility. And then, there are a lot of guidelines from USP in terms of, how long you can store something and what the safety involved is. Compatibility issues, not so much, but more along the lines for storage and safety.
So before we continue, I'd like to remind you that you're listening to Healthy Alternatives with Dr. Jerry Teplitz, and we'll be back with my guest, Nat Jones, in just a moment.
And the message is from me. It's about a DVD album I've created with Dr. Tony Alessandro called Switched On Selling. 6 DVDs, 4 of them are the actual live Switched On Selling seminar, 2 are the DVDs are my co-author, Dr. Tony Alessandro, talking about techniques of selling. And you also get a workbook and my book, Switched On Selling, that went to bestseller on Amazon. This system will change your life if you're involved with selling. It's a brain rewiring approach to selling. It's not a technique approach. It comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. You'll also get a whole slew of free gifts from author friends of ours and speaker friends of ours. And all you have to do is go to switchedonselling.com, switchedonselling.com, and you'll find it there.
So my guest today is Nat Jones. He's a pharmacist. He's a graduate of the Medical College of Virginia School of Pharmacy, president of Lakeview Compounding Pharmacy and Nutritional Center in Virginia Beach. And Nat, a question came up for me in terms of how do regular pharmacists view you? Because you're doing something very different than what they do.
Well, I think traditional retail pharmacies are very busy businesses in most cases, and the chain atmosphere is a pace for most of them that they really don't have time, or they don't have the equipment or the chemical inventory and the expertise that's come with doing this for a number of years. So most of my colleagues in this area are gladly send me their patients who have compounds because it's time consuming. And that's something that they're pretty well stretched for is time, because they've got a busy pharmacy will fill 500 prescriptions in a day. And that's a pace that's really difficult to maintain with a couple of pharmacists on board. So they're glad to relinquish the compounding to us. And it's one less thing that they have to do, so to speak, during the course of their day.
You get that pain out of my business.
Yeah. They gladly refer patients to me. Now, some chain stores do a little bit of compounding, and then they will take it on. But even they will refer patients to us because there's a lot of things that are outside the realm of what they're capable of making. You know, like I said, we do sterile compounding. We make ophthalmics and injectable drugs, which is something that in our area most of the chain stores have never attempted to do. So we're doing compounding at a whole different level than just mixing a couple of creams or ointments together.
Now, do insurance companies and Medicare, Medicaid cover compounding pharmacies, what they're producing?
Pretty much. The only exception would be Medicare and Medicaid. The Medicaid guidelines are that they will pay for compounds, but they will only pay for a compound if it's made from a manufactured drug. And in our laboratory, we're not taking pills or tablets and crushing and grinding them most of the time. We're actually buying the active ingredient, a USP-grade pharmaceutical chemical, and then making the drug or making the patient's prescription from those ingredients. And that is not covered by Medicaid or Medicare, unfortunately. But most PPOs, HMOs, regular prescription drug programs have provisions for coverage of compounded drugs, yes.
Just so that for listeners to be aware, I actually use Nat's services for some thyroid medication that I get from him. And my insurance company, I think it was, they wouldn't even cover the first $50, and they were limited to a little bit above that or something. So you check with your insurance company so you can find out exactly what they'll cover for you.
Sure.
Now, question for you on the physicians who are calling you, because it's so unique what you're doing. You're pretty much in a real collaborative relationship with the docs, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I am. They call me routinely and ask me, you know, what can we do for this patient? I've got a patient we've already tried, you know, drug X, Y, and Z on, and it's not working. What do we do? Or I have a lot of physicians simply that will refer patients to me for evaluation. So that's when we get into the consultation services that we offer. And we do that for, you know, a handful of things that physicians want to have their patients evaluated for. For example, today had a patient sent to me from a podiatrist who had, you know, pain in both feet. So we're actually able to help that patient. A lot of doctors refer patients to us for bioidentical hormones to be evaluated for that. Or, like I said earlier in the conversation, we have a lot of patients that come to us for help with their thyroid medication, and we end up consulting with their practitioners on a regular basis to help them find the best dosage of thyroid hormone for that patient.
So when somebody is being referred to you, what would you be running, blood tests? What kind of stuff are you doing to figure out what's going on with them?
Well, like you said, it's kind of a collaborative arrangement with the physicians that we're working with. So if blood has to be drawn, we will ask the practitioner to order a specific test. But a lot of times, if it's hormones, we're doing saliva testing. It's my preference to do saliva testing. I think it's a really valid method, very accurate way to look at, you know, get a good baseline. You can't overinterpret saliva for adjustments, but you can kind of get a ballpark figure to see if the patient's absorbing it well. Is their level going up from where we started and all that kind of stuff. We also do urine neurotransmitter testing through a laboratory that we can order those tests as well as a saliva test. So we have a handful of companies we work with, laboratories that we work with, to help gather some information on the patient so we can come up with a bigger picture of what might be happening to that patient and why they feel lousy.
Where would you say most of your patient consulting work, what areas that fall into?
Well, we do nutritional counseling and weight loss. We do a lot of counseling with stress and stress management or dealing with fatigue. And then the bioidentical hormones for men and women. But one of the biggest areas that we do consulting work in, like I mentioned earlier, I had a patient come today for a consultation on pain. And we see quite a few patients for pain consults.
Now, with the thyroid medicine, I know because I get it from you folks, you're doing something very different, because I think the synthetic thyroid that's in the pills goes through your system very quickly, whereas when you're compounding, not only are you adjusting the formula, but you're also putting it where it becomes like a time release type of thing. Can you talk about that?
Sure. There's two main forms of thyroid hormone that are being given to patients orally. One is a prohormone that has a very long half-life. Most people have heard of the brand name product Synthroid. The generic ingredient is called levothyroxine, and it's commonly referred to as T4. It's a prohormone that turns into the active thyroid hormone. It's not the active thyroid hormone itself. And it has, a fairly long half-life, meaning that half of it is still in your bloodstream 24 hours after you last swallowed your pill. Whereas the active form, T3, has a much shorter half-life and needs to be dosed more often. So patients that are on Synthroid usually take their pill first thing in the morning on empty stomach. But if they're not able to convert their T4 into their T3 well, then they need T3. So what we do is we formulate combinations of T4 and T3 for most of our patients, and we make them into a sustained-release capsule so that it will dissolve over 7 to 8 hours or longer, and that way they're getting a much slower delivery of the T3, which is the active thyroid hormone, which helps them have a more sustained metabolism, because that's what the function of thyroid hormone is to help run your metabolism.
Now, also, for listeners to be aware, my fiance has been on your weight loss program.
Mm-hmm.
And can you talk about what that process is? Because she's lost about 60 pounds on it. So why don't you share a little bit about that approach?
Oh, sure. Thank you. The weight loss program we have, it's a medically supervised program. We're working with physicians in our area. It involves a couple of prescription products. We decided to work with the HCG, human chorionic gonadotropin, and another product that's basically a nutritional support product. And the combination of the two is very effective if the patients follow the protocol. It's like everything else. You have to follow the protocol. And at our facility, we have a registered nurse who is also is available for a fee to do weight loss counseling or coaching. But the practitioner's role would be to weigh and measure the patient and counsel them on a weekly basis. Our role would be to provide them with the medications and to help educate them and answer their questions along the way. We have a little educational video that we have them watch when they first come in, and we provide them with, you know, the information in print as well as the video. So they've got a nice reference to take home, a little cookbook, things of that nature, in terms of how it works and how to stick to the program, and then how to transition once they've stopped the actual weight loss phase, which is the key, because it's like everybody knows, if you lose weight and all of a sudden you go back to eating donuts and French fries, you're going to gain your weight back. So learning how to eat for the rest of your life is really the key to maintaining weight loss. I personally lost about almost 40 pounds about 12 years ago, and I've kept it off, and it's only because I know that I can't go back to eating that way ever again. Otherwise, I'm going to be in a world of hurt. And so that's kind of the lesson here is you have to have some common sense after you finish losing your weight.
What's the most unusual thing you've ever had to combat?
Probably had to make an eye drop for a patient. I'd never heard of this infection before, but I had a patient come in who had gotten a contact lens solution through one of these big deep discount warehouse kind of stores, and apparently the product was contaminated. It had an amoeba growing in it, and it caused an infection in his eye called an acanthamoeba infection. So we had to make an eye drop for it, and the actual active ingredient, the amoeba side, we had to go to a pool supply company to buy the chemical to then turn into an eye drop. So that's probably the most obscure thing that I've done so far. That was rather unique. I've actually had two cases of that with that medication in the last 5 years, so it's not as uncommon as I once thought it was, I guess.
So if the pool supply company, I guess, was a little surprised if you told them what you're going to use.
Yeah, and what's really kind of funny, I had to go in, and the smallest container they had was a half a gallon.
Uh-huh.
And I think I wound up using less than a milliliter total to make a dilution to then make the eye drop from, you know. So it's like that half gallon never got used. It was kind of an expensive eye drop. But, you know, if it's what we have to do, it's what we have to do.
So for people who want to go further with Nat and explore, because he works in the areas of does patient consulting services, he's in the area of pain management, nutrition, weight loss, stress and fatigue, bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, both men and women, the best way to get a hold of him is to call his 800 number, which is 877-873-9564. That's 877-873-9564. You can also take a look at he's got a website which has a lot of information on it at lakeviewcp.com. That's lakeviewcp.com. Nat, thanks for being a guest today on Healthy Alternatives.
Well, thank you, Jerry, so much. Appreciate it.
This is Dr. Jerry Teplitz. You can find out more about me at teplitz.com, or you can follow me on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for being with us today for Healthy Alternatives. For more information about Dr. Teplitz and his availability for speaking engagements, please click on the globe on the webtalkradio.net page in front of you, or go to teplitz.com. You may also follow him on Facebook and Twitter by using the icons on the page. To find out more about his books, please click on any of the book covers you see. Eat well, rest well, take a breath, get some exercise, and we'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Healthy Alternatives.